Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Tuesday, December 17th, 2019. And a little different tack today and for the remainder of our time broadcasting up until Christmas. Christmas stories, heartwarming stories. And as I mentioned in the first hour, I'm going to set my usual cynicism aside. It's leaked out a little bit in the first hour, I admit, but setting aside passages, you know, Jeremiah 10, Isaiah 44, and my usual cynicism about certain elements of the season that have been fed to us, I won't even mention any. But what I will say is, relying on the spirit of Titus 1:15 in particular, to the pure all things are pure. I'm just going to sort of put my confidence in that, put my trust in that, and we'll just try to hold to the good things and the good stories. And there are some interesting and heartwarming stories. So that's what we're doing. And again, like I said, if you have a story that you'd like to share, feel free to call in 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. I'm going to move from the story of the World War I Christmas truce. Now, that was the Smithsonian Magazine installment of that story that I read during the first hour. And now I think we'll move over to a few stories that were lifted actually from the book Chicken Soup for the Soul. It's Christmas. And I know. I'm setting aside my usual cynicism. So, six Christmas stories of wonder and love from Reader's Digest. These stories reprinted with permission. So, this is where we're headed next. So, first story, 'Tis Better to Give. And the story opens with a quote from Tenova Jordan. A mother is a person who, seeing there are only four pieces of pie for five people, promptly announces she never did care for pie. I knew I was not supposed to be quite so excited. I was told I was too old for that. At age 11, the oldest of my mom's grown-up girl, at age 11, the oldest and my mom's grown-up girl, I had to keep my cool. I was in middle school, after all. But every chance I got when I was alone, I checked each present under the tree. I read every tag and felt every package, guessing at the contents within. I had examined each gift so often that I could tell which present went to which person without even looking at the tags. It had been a tough year for my family. Whenever my mom looked over the tree and scattered presents, she would sigh and warn us, "There won't be as much for us. There won't be as much for Christmas this year. Try not to be disappointed." Christmas had traditionally been a time for my parents to spoil us. In years past, the presents would pile up and spill out from under the tree, taking over the living room. I had heard the phrase, "Giving is better than receiving," but thought that whoever had said that must have been out of their mind. Getting presents was the whole point. It was the reason I couldn't get to sleep on Christmas Eve. On Christmas morning, we eagerly waited in the hallway until Dad told us everything was ready. We rushed into the living room and let the wrapping paper fly. We made weak attempts to wait and watch while other family members opened their presents. But as the time passed, we lost our self-control. "Here's another one for you," said Mom as she handed me a package. I looked at it, confused. Having spent so much time examining the presents before Christmas, I recognized this one. But it had not been mine. It was my mom's. A new label had been put on it, with my name written in my mother's handwriting. "Mom, I can't." I was stopped by my mother's eager, joyful look. A look I could not really understand. Let's see what it is, honey. Hurry and open it. It was a blow dryer. Though this may seem but a simple gift, to me it was so much more. Being an 11-year-old girl, I was stunned. In my world, where receiving outweighed giving by light years, my mom's act of selflessness was incomprehensible. It was a huge act. Tears filled my eyes, and I thought in disbelief about how much my mom must love me to give up her Christmas so I could have a few more presents. I've always remembered that Christmas fondly. It had such an impact on me. As an adult, with children in my life whom I adore, I can now understand my mom's actions. I see how she was not giving up her Christmas, as I had thought, but was finding an even greater joy in her Christmas because giving truly is better than receiving. My mom's simple act meant the world to me. Jennifer Yardley Barney. And I think it's interesting, you know, these kinds of stories. It would be wonderful to think that children these days, you hear stories, you know, people talk about, I mean, if you listen, speaking of the story of the World War I truce, the Christmas truce, you hear stories, I mean, I've heard stories, the early 20th century Christmases, you know, people overjoyed to receive one gift. And again, I'm going to forego the usual cynicism of things like, you know, the Bernaysian types, the Madison Avenue types, giving us so much of the prosumer aspect of Christmas over the 20th century and now into the 21st, to the point that it exhausts the average individual and family, and the meaning that the story by Jennifer Yardley Barney conveys is lost. So it would be great to think that young people these days have this kind of a reminder of the true spirit of the season, if there is such a thing, and I think there is. So the next story is titled "The Christmas Spirit Strikes Again." The opening quote, "Blessed is the season which engages the whole world in a conspiracy of love." Hamilton Wright, maybe. "I always dreamed of pulling off the surprise prank of a lifetime. You know, the kind you see on TV or laugh about late at night with friends. Well, thanks to a little determination, some luck, and a generous helping of Christmas spirit, my dream became a reality. My family is Canadian, although my sister moved down to Australia a few years ago to study speech pathology. She was graduating just before Christmas, but due to my own scholarly schedule back home, I would not be able to make it down in time for her graduation. She was understandably disappointed, and I felt guilty that I wasn't able to be there for her on this most special of occasions. While I was talking to my supervisor the week before my sister's graduation, conversation drifted toward Christmas plans. When I mentioned that I would be missing my sister's graduation by less than 48 hours, she commented, 'Well, if you want to go, I have no problem with it, so go ahead.' I couldn't believe my luck. I nearly jumped for joy. Just make sure you get permission from admin, she added. My heart sank. The administration at my school was notorious for denying any sort of time off requests. And last minute pleas would undoubtedly draw nothing but ire. I almost didn't bother asking, because I knew it would be a waste of time, and I didn't feel like a thorough chastisement. Plus, I knew the answer already, no. But something in me decided to try, just in case. Maybe it was the hope that the Christmas spirit would somehow permeate the administrative office at this time of year. When I returned home to find the associate dean's reply in my inbox, I steeled myself for disappointment. I gritted my teeth, opened the email, and started to read, and reread, just to make sure I'd understood. Approval? I could actually go? I rubbed my eyes. There must be a mistake. But no, I was flabbergasted. There was no logical explanation. I couldn't believe my luck. The only explanation I could possibly come up with was that the Christmas spirit had been lurking in the heart of my associate dean when she'd read my request. Immediately, I called the airline. Miraculously, even during the busy Christmas season, I was able to change my ticket to arrive the day before my sister's graduation. With news this fantastic, I was bursting to tell my sister, but fingers on the dial, I paused. Wouldn't it be so much more fantastic if I could surprise her? I pictured myself just showing up, knocking at the door. What a state of shock she would be in. I laughed gleefully to myself as I pictured her face when she opened the door and saw me. She loves pranks and practical jokes of all sorts. Pulling off a prank like this would certainly be the ultimate gift, and if I were successful, she'd probably be more excited about my unconventional arrival than even my attendance at her graduation. Slowly, the idea evolved in my mind. For a surprise of this grand a scale, I needed a much more dramatic arrival than just a ring of the doorbell. For me, Christmas surprises are epitomized by presents, or at least boxes. What if I could arrive in a box? I started to plot. Then brilliance struck. Getting delivered in a box to my sister's house by couriers. I knew if I pulled this off, my presence at her graduation and my grand arrival would be the best Christmas present I could ever give my sister. No one appreciates a prank like a prankster. Although I was leaving in less than 72 hours, I frantically jumped on my computer in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada, and started Googling courier companies. One of the first I came across, and the only one willing to go along with my Christmas surprise, was Couriers Please. At first, the branch manager said no, pointing out that Christmas was their busiest season, and he couldn't spare a courier for this rather unorthodox request. But he suddenly and inexplicably warmed to the idea and actually volunteered to dress up and deliver me himself. The Christmas spirit strikes again. Upon arrival in Australia, the manager met me in full uniform. But that wasn't all. He brought one of his couriers, plus a Courier Please van along for the ride as well. They even had a reinforced box prepared for me that they'd already tested at the office. I thought it would be easiest to walk up to the doorway and then jump in the box while they rang the doorbell, but no, they insisted my sister might see me through the window, and they certainly didn't want that to jeopardize my Christmas surprise. Instead, they parked a few hundred meters up the street where they loaded me in the box and carried me all the way to my sister's, where they rang the doorbell and announced they had a delivery for her. I couldn't see the look on my sister's face as she opened the door to couriers with a surprise delivery, but I could tell from her voice that she was more than a little perplexed. This soon morphed into utter disbelief and shock when the box was opened and she saw her older sister sitting inside smiling up at her. She was at a complete loss for words, and I will never forget the look on her face as she opened those flaps on the box. It was such a gift to be able to attend my sister's graduation and to show her my love by giving her the most unique, unconventional Christmas present in the history of our family. It was a memory both she and I will cherish forever. It served as a lesson for me, never ever underestimate the power of the Christmas spirit. It can move hearts, minds, and yes, even people in boxes. Heather Thompson. That sort of reminds me of the way that, it's reminiscent to me, I think, at least in my mind, of the times when we used to be able to, those times we used to be able to greet each other at the gate at the airport. And that was a fun thing. And people would dress up for the occasion. And not uncommonly, folks traveling, folks flying would dress for the occasion as well. And at this point, it's difficult. I'm trying to keep to the high line and not devolve into thoughts of, TSA and stretchy pants at the airport and things, people traveling in their pajamas and things. I think those were better days when we used to meet each other at the gate and greet each other, obviously, warmly. It's interesting, the changes, when we don't think about them. I think it's interesting. You start thinking about one and more, and it's just interesting how things have changed. And I think there is a reality, particularly in a certain period, things have happened. There is a reality to the idea of the good old days. And it's difficult to hold the line. I touched on the Hallmark Zola ad story yesterday as an example of the drift, the creep, and things seem to be creeping one direction, and it's difficult to hold the line, but the heartwarming stories is my attempt to sort of hold that line, and the warmth of mankind, the compassion, the kindness, generosity, the grace and mercy that is within us all, and that's what we should seek to inspire and grow, I think, in one another. In contravention to that letter that I mentioned, unleashing the nihilists and the atheists and showing the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and all of that stuff. Maybe not that. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a
Welcome back. A momentary aside, I was thinking about this last night, talking about the Christmas stories, heartwarming stories during this season. It's difficult to, it's interesting how difficult it was as I was thinking about this last night to focus on these kinds of stories and not drift off into, you know, the more cynical side of these kinds of stories and, you know, not talk about trending articles like the BBC article this month, December 12th, How Dark Patterns Influence Travel Bookings. And when it comes to the holiday theme, that kind of subject matter, not to drift over to Toynbee's study of history and talk about the perversion of language, which usually is something that I mention when the discussion arises. You know, it's just incredible how difficult that becomes. You know, Toynbee talking about in chapter 5, you know, the role of civilizations in the lives of churches and the conversion of a society. by the conversion of language. Toynbee writing conversion, which once implied the turning of the soul toward God, is now more familiar in such contexts as the conversion of coal into electric power, or the conversion of a 5% into a 3% stock. And he wrote, we hear little of a cure of souls, but much of the cures of the body performed by drugs. And holy day has become holiday. He wrote, all this betokens a linguistic disetherealization, which merely symbolizes a secularization of society. And it's interesting what came next. He wrote, when a civilization of the third generation breaks its way out of the body ecclesiastic, the histories, as shown in the Hellenic Renaissance of a Holy Roman Empire, conclude that the Renaissance of a dead civilization spells a regression from a living higher religion, and that the farther the revival is pushed, the greater the backsliding will be. So, all that speaks to what I was saying before, that in spite of all of the progress that we hear about, maybe there's more going on here than what at first glance we're told or led to believe. So it's just interesting how difficult it is. I don't know if you've, maybe it's just me. I don't know if you've just sat back and tried to sort of ruminate on these inspiring and heartwarming stories. You know, for women, I think it seems to come a little more naturally. For men, not so much. But that's just, maybe that's a clumsy statement on my part. It's my observation. And, how much of that is environmentally influenced, I don't know. It's just an observation. But it is interesting to me that in my own case, it seems difficult to really sort of just ruminate on these kinds of stories without drifting into this other stuff. And as much as I want to say, the purpose of this broadcast is more of an uplift of mankind. That's what it's supposed to be. Inform their discretion in Jeffersonian fashion. But for what purpose? And it's supposed to be the general uplift of mankind, and to help us recall those kinder, gentler moments and times, truly, where I believe that we were more gracious, more compassionate, more merciful, kind, and loving toward one another. It's interesting how difficult that seems to be to focus on, at least in my case, which, I don't know, maybe it's just me. But that's my observation. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartache when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
It's ironic. It's Sinatra. I can't disagree with it, but it goads my cynicism. We should gather up some Christmas music. Maybe we'll do that for the remainder of the week for the bumps. We'll see if we can do that. So I'm trying to focus on the heartwarming tales, and I hope they don't sound cheesy, so to speak, but the idea here is to just, you know, thaw one another out a little bit. I don't know about you, but I think that it's too easy. It's all too easy for us to get entrenched in these sort of caricaturizations of ourselves and the well-worn grooves of society, as one person put it once a long time ago, a bad old school bad guy. It's too easy to get stuck in the ruts, so to speak. And these days there's much to get stuck in, it seems. Less and less beauty, more and more things like art programs and music programs and things, leaving schools. Don't get me started on schools. See, this is what I mean. It's difficult, but we should be reminded And so hopefully these broadcasts leading up to Christmas will serve to do that, will help to thaw us all a little bit and soften us to whatever appropriate degree, pun fully intended. And just kind of keep the softer side of mankind in mind for all of us. It's just interesting. You know, I was thinking, the last thing I think I'll say about this is, speaking of the World War I Christmas truce story, which I read in the first hour of today's broadcast, you contrast that again, you know, thinking of, for example, Tom Kersting telling Megyn Kelly, there was a massive shift, like an inversion in the numbers when, you know, the troops that were trained to shoot at bullseyes during World War I, you know, in subsequent conflicts, just the change from the bullseye to the silhouette resulted in a massive increase in people being able to shoot at another person. And from there, you think about the further dehumanizing of people to the point that we hear, you know, we hear certain folks refer to other people groups in very denigrating and dehumanizing terms. That's the first thing you have to do, right? As the old cliche, you know, the first thing you have to do is dehumanize the enemy. But when we don't know these people, you know, it kind of reminds me of the story Stephen Covey tells about how, you know, as if memory serves, he tells the story of, you know, the guy who gets on the subway, I think, and his two children are a little unruly, and the fellow passengers are all looking at each other like, what's wrong with this guy? Doesn't he realize his kids are unruly? And so finally one person is silently nominated to say something among the onlookers, and basically that person says something to the effect of, sir, could you please get a hold of your children? To which he replies, oh yeah, sorry, I guess they're a little out of sorts, their mom passed away, and so, you know, I guess they just don't know quite how to behave right now. And so, you know, if you're the person with, you know, that is hit with that epiphany, then you feel like a heel. And it's just interesting. There's more to the story. And to get ourselves locked in rhetoric and myopia is dangerous. And it breeds contempt and animosity too often, instead of hoping and believing the best in one another, which, by the way, is, I would say, the definition of love. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love, and it's interesting that it has a broad application in a certain context, maybe, you know, certainly this context. In the NASB, 1 Corinthians 13 opens with these words: if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. This is the NASB. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So what is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. And so that, I think, is something worth focusing on as we head into this Christmas season. I know that, you know, I've mentioned, and I haven't said it today, but I've alluded to the fact that I think that big changes are, sweeping changes are in store. If you listen to certain folks, powerful, influential folks, there are some sweeping changes coming in the next year, 5 years, 10 years in particular. And so I think that we will all need and appreciate more of a focus in this direction. You know, and again, it's difficult to stay in that mental space and not drift into thoughts of how dehumanizing and unfriendly to mankind smart cities are, you know, and then thoughts of transhumanism and posthumanism and all those kinds of things. It's difficult. I think this broadcast is kind of known for or categorized by those sorts of things. That's, you know, typically what I discuss, but there should be more of an emphasis on this. If I'm not focusing on this, it's kind of like saying I'm raising my children when they spend the majority of their time somewhere else, you know, at this place called school. Am I really raising them? So if I say this is what's most important, if the overwhelming majority of the time I'm focusing on this other stuff, do I really believe that this is what's most important? So hopefully this is a reminder to us all, to me in particular. So back to some stories. Here's another one from the Reader's Digest collection of the few stories from the Chicken Soup for the Soul. It's Christmas edition. This one, sharing a legacy of love. And the quote by Phyllis McGinley, compromise, if not the spice of life, is its solidity. It is what makes nations great and marriages happy. I'm going to set aside my cynicism. Continuing, when my mother died at the age of 84, my four sisters and I were heartbroken. How could we ever get over the loss of this warm and loving woman? A talented artist who enjoyed life in spite of its challenges and always doted on her husband, daughters, and grandchildren. For weeks after, my sisters and I would meet for dinner, laughing and crying over old memories. When it came time to sell the home my mother loved, we spent many days in disbelief, clearing out her belongings. I remembered reading an Ann Landers column years earlier that discussed how many siblings fight bitterly over the possessions left by their deceased parents. I thought, how lucky we are that will never happen to us. Somehow, we easily and peacefully divided Mom's belongings, furniture, jewelry, and household items, among ourselves and a few charities. Although I expected there might be a tug of war over her paintings, that never happened. Pretty good considering there were five daughters and four grandchildren. No conflicts, squabbles, or disputes at all, until we discovered the old nativity set in a box in Mom's closet. I remember Mom telling the story of how she acquired the manger an old friend who did carpentry work gave it to my mom and dad as a Christmas gift when they were first married. My sister, Eileen, however, remembers it differently. Mom told her she found the crutch in a garbage can belonging to Mrs. Bingham, the elderly lady who lived across the street from us. Unlike some of the ornate versions found in today's stores, this manger was crafted from dark wood and completely unadorned, just a roof, a floor, and a side railing around it. Though beautifully crafted, there was one flaw. One side of the double gate in front was lopsided. Mom filled it with three figurines to start: Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. For many years after, she continued to add others: the wise men, shepherds, angels, and animals. As kids, we loved the annual rites of the Christmas season, especially taking the nativity set and decorations down from the attic and carefully putting them in place. When the sisters all married and grandchildren came along, they added new characters of their own to the stable, including a set of the three little pigs. After Mom's death, when the nativity set emerged, no one was prepared for the battle that would follow. My sister Joanne was the first to claim the manger, insisting it was the only one of Mom's possessions that she really wanted. Her wish was granted. But when my niece Mandy found out, she called from her apartment in California to voice her objection. She was clearly emotional as she repeated a decades-old promise made to her by my mother. "Nanny promised me that I could have the nativity set when she was gone," she cried. "The nativity set belongs to me." Joanne felt strongly that as mom's daughter, she had first dibs. Neither she nor Mandy would budge. When the disagreement showed signs of becoming a full-blown family feud, we realized something had to be done. Enter the family arbitrator, my sister Eileen, who somehow saw through the fog. But as Mandy's mother and Joanne's sister, could Eileen handle this dilemma fairly? Temporarily, she set aside the emotion of the dispute and thought logically. The nativity set was just a wooden stable, not an irreplaceable masterpiece of art. The beauty was in the eye of the beholders, the perception of the two who coveted a simple item owned by someone they loved. Couldn't a copy be created? Of course. She would order the wood from the lumber yard and get someone to build a second manger. Following day, Eileen went to Center Millwork and stood in line behind several contractors ordering lumber from a young man with a crew cut. He was wearing a tag with his name, Brett, written in green magic marker. When Eileen's turn came, she had to shout over the sound of buzzing saws. She pointed to the nativity set in her arms and told him the story, explaining that it was causing a major rift between her sister Joanne and her daughter Mandy. Brett took the stable from her, held it up with one hand, and laughed. "They're fighting over this?" "Yes," Eileen explained. "I know it seems crazy, but it was my mother's, and they both loved her very much. Is there any way you could measure and cut some wood so we could have a duplicate built?" Brett said, "Leave it here. I'll see what I can do." Eileen left, hoping he could come up with a minor miracle. That's what it would take to satisfy the two women in her life that were squabbling. A few days later, she received a phone message saying her order was ready. When Eileen arrived at the hardware store to pick up the wood, she couldn't believe what she saw. Stick around. More right after this break.
Mm-hmm.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. So the conclusion of the story, the heartwarming tale, a few days later, she received a phone message saying that her order was ready. When Eileen arrived at the hardware store to pick up the wood, she couldn't believe what she saw. Two identical stables sitting side by side. Brett had not only cut and measured the wood, he had built a second manger. I know you wanted them to look the same, so I added a couple of dings and flaws that were in the original. Hope that's okay. Sure enough, the new stable had the same lopsided front gate. Okay, Eileen said in tears, you have no idea what this will mean to my sister and my daughter, to the entire family. I don't care what it costs. Your work has saved a day. That will be $3.75 for the materials, Brett said. When Eileen insisted on paying him more, he said, I didn't do it on company time. I built it at home, so I won't charge you for the labor. He pointed to the new manger. I hope this helps your family have a merrier Christmas. Eileen left Brett with a large tip and a big hug of thanks. When she got home and called Joanne and Mandy about her creative solution, they were very happy and extremely relieved that the problem was solved or resolved. One phone call later, Joanne and Mandy had agreed that Joanne would take possession of the new stable, as well as some of the old figurines, including Mary Joseph and the infant. Mandy would get to keep the original, just as Nanny promised. Kathy Malia Levine. So it's, you know, again, just sort of an interesting little observation. The way that things are going these days, we're so busy. Who has time to do something like that? And a small act of kindness, you know, someone building something on their own time can prove to be a remarkable thing. It's interesting, you know, the little things sometimes are not so little. And speaking of the Christmas season, the Christmas story, you know, and Jesus, I can't help but think of the thief on the cross who realizes what's going on and tells the other two to settle down. And what seems like a little thing, you know, him saying, "Remember me," to Jesus becomes, "Truly, truly, I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise," which my understanding is that there are three terms in the Greek for heaven. This one is God's, you know, where God resides. And so that there is no misunderstanding. He wasn't just saying that you're going to be up in the air today or out in the universe in outer space. You'll be with me in paradise. But it's interesting that this is a gift that keeps on giving generation after generation. And so little things like this, you know, who knows what joy something like that brought everyone after the fact, what kind of blessings it provided subsequently. That'll do it for the second hour. Third hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.